This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Verrett. Today is Columbus Day in most parts of the country, but in nine cities it's being celebrated as Indigenous Peoples Day instead. Joining us to discuss the movement and why it's important to First Nations are Patty Lowe and Janice Rice.
Janice Rice recently retired as outreach coordinator for the College Library at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's worked as the archivist for the Ho-Chunk people and is a past president of the American Indian Library Association. Janice, thank you so much for coming in today.
Glad to be here.
And Patty Lowe is with us in studio as well. She's a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Life Sciences Communication. She's an enrolled member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe, and she's the author of Indian Nations of Wisconsin, Histories of Endurance and Renewal. Patty, good to have you along.
Thank you.
Well, today is a federal holiday celebrated as Columbus Day traditionally, but there are now nine cities in the United States, including Albuquerque, Seattle, and St. Paul, that have changed the holiday to Indigenous Peoples Day. How long has this movement been afoot? Where were those first seeds? Janice?
Well, from what I saw and what I've read in the past is that since 1954, Portland's been seeking Indigenous Peoples Day recognition, and now they have it. And there have been other urban Indian groups across the country that have wanted to push for Indigenous Peoples Day, and then also other places where they've gotten Native American Day, so it isn't always called Indigenous Peoples Day.
Well, and as members of two Wisconsin Indian tribes, Patty, we'll go to you. How have you perceived and looked at Columbus Day over the years?
You know, it's been really it's just really it's beyond irritating to me, because I think if people understood who Columbus was and what he did, I think we've moved beyond the fairy tale. I hope we've moved beyond the fairy tale that is the Columbus,
America.
Right? But it's, you know, we know from letters he wrote, from letters that were written by people who were on those voyages, from depositions that were taken in 1500, where the Spanish crown had him answer for the atrocities that he was committing in the New World. We know that this is not someone that we should be celebrating. And so it's frustrating that it's taken and continues to be a conversation that we still have.
So do you think that narrative you're talking about, the historically richer narrative, where we know this person as a fully fleshed person, not just a sort of a faceless voyager, but someone who did have, it sounds like, serious atrocities to his name, do you think that history about Columbus is known these days?
I don't, and I'm not sure. You know, as a librarian, Janice, do you have any ideas about why people still don't know who he is and what he did?
I don't want to put all the blame on the school districts, but a lot of what we know is what's been taught in the schools, and then the curriculum that they have and the activities that they have all reinforce just the same old Columbus discovered America. And but I wouldn't want to put all the blame there. I would feel that we need to have more educated people in our cities and across the country to start speaking up. And I'm glad that the Native American communities are starting to speak up more about their areas of concern and bringing their issues to light. So I'm really glad that they're taking the initiative to raise the issues in their communities, wherever they might be. And I'm excited about that part, because I think as soon as we empower our own young Indigenous people to speak up and to raise the issues, then we're going to make some progress. And even if you don't make progress in the city, it seems as though each of these communities, it's a city issue, which I think is really exciting, because for me, I've seen so much in the federal policy in U.S. Congress, and then states trying to bring up something, and then I feel as though this is one area where we finally touched on our local community, where you can see your neighbor, you can see your alderman or woman, and have their support, and they sit with one another and their children at the PTO or PTA meetings, and they also see what happens in the city. So I think that's a good point. And I'm excited about that portion of it, because until young people bring it up, I don't think it's going to move forward. So I'm glad they are beginning to do that.
And Patty, speaking of the cities, we've got 9 cities now mm-hmm. that are doing it this year, celebrating Indigenous People's Day. Are we at a tipping point, do you think, for this?
I'd like to think so. And there are other things that are happening as well that, to me, are really encouraging. For example, you know, the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, now is saying that maybe we ought to think about, you know, the Washington Redskins team name. And there is pressure, you know, there's a political conversation now. The Democratic and Republican candidates have weighed in on Indian mascots, which I realize is not the Columbus issue, but I think it's sort of tangential to it. But, you know, when I was growing up in Milwaukee, the very first thing that I can remember learning about Columbus was that, you know, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And I was really surprised and disappointed when my own children came home with the very same poem. And, you know, so I think Act 31, which is an educational mandate in Wisconsin that requires the teaching of Wisconsin Indian history, culture, treaty rights, is a good beginning. But because it's an unfunded mandate, it still is unevenly applied throughout the state. And so it's encouraging to see some movement there. It's encouraging that some schools have decided to get rid of their Indian mascots and are thinking more critically about Columbus. But, you know, then there are disappointments with the state repealing that law. So I think the jury is still out.
We're talking right now with Janice Rice, past president of the American Indian Library Association, and Patty Lowe is with us as well. She's the author of Indian Nations of Wisconsin, and we're talking about the movement to change Columbus Day to Indigenous People's Day, which is happening in 9 cities across the country this year, at least. And I want to ask you both, you know, there are some people who say, yes, Indigenous People's Day should be a day of honor for Native peoples, but does it have to replace Columbus Day? Does it have to happen at the expense of Columbus Day? What do you say to that, Janice?
I think it could be side by side. They could still have the same day, but you could also expand. I really feel like, for myself, every day is Indigenous Peoples Day because I can't avoid it no matter where I go. I'm still an Indigenous person. And so it's difficult to try to interpret it for someone else because I see it as something logical where there'll be people out there in the general public who really won't see that viewpoint and has the stereotypes that Patty was talking about. So I would prefer it to be another day because otherwise I feel like it's bumping up against Italians and Columbus Day. But the other reality of it is there's so many days in the year that you can have a holiday, and it makes a nice 3-day weekend for people. And so I think we're going to continue to have this holiday. My inspiration is coming from the young people, seeing that they are interested and they want to know more. And I used to feel like, why is it feeling like I'm one of the only ones in the last 30 years or so that thinks about these things? And now I'm seeing it mm-hmm. in the literature. I was also excited today to see it posted on Facebook. A lot of the Indian community were greeting each other, Happy Indigenous Peoples Day. And even a year ago, I wouldn't have seen that. And so I'm really happy that they're doing that. But I would say they need their own separate one. And it has multiple spiral issues coming off of that. So I don't feel like it should be the same day. But otherwise, it seems like it's a reaction to. And I would rather not see Indigenous people today be a reaction to something, because we want to be active, we want to be out there, and we want our issues to be known. And this is just a small part of the issues that Native Americans have across the nation and South America and Central America as well.
And just to talk a little bit about Japan, just a second, about the, you referenced Italian-Americans feeling as though they wanted to hang on to that day. That is where the one area, or the main area of pushback is happening, is that the Italian-American community, who's saying, we celebrate this day not so much as Columbus Day, but more as a day to celebrate Italian-Americans. So just some clarity on that. And Patty, what were you going to say?
And that was actually, that actually speaks to my point, because I think it's wonderful if everybody celebrates their cultural heritage. And we don't have a day for that. So in my own mind, what I'd like to see is, well, first and foremost, we need to get rid of Columbus Day, because I think if Italian Americans really knew and had read some of these documents, they wouldn't want to claim him, because he did horrifying things. At the same time, I have a lot of in-laws who are Italian, and that's a terrific culture. But you know, we ought to have a day to celebrate Norwegian culture and Southeast Asian culture. And you know, this is the one thing that makes us Americans. And I think, you know, Native people have been very accommodating to that end. And just as a point of historical note, you know, if we're celebrating European encounter, which of course Native people, you know, the word celebrating is problematic. But if we're recognizing that encounter, we're off by 500 years, because the Norwegians, the Vikings, were here, established three colonies in present-day Newfoundland before the year 1000. So, you know, historically it's just wrong. The man is just wrong. Let's celebrate Italian culture. Let's celebrate Norwegian culture and French culture and English culture and all the culture we, you know, we'd like to celebrate. But let's create some space somewhere so that we can look at an honest history of this nation. It doesn't make us any less a nation to own up to mistakes and historical accuracy, and the problems that we've had. Let's have a day to take a look at that. If you want to call it Indigenous Peoples Day, that's fine.
We're talking right now with Patty Lowe. She is the author of Indian Nations of Wisconsin, and Janice Rice, past president of the American Indian Library Association, talking about the movement to change Columbus Day today to Indigenous Peoples Day.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Would you support changing Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day? Or do you think it's fine to have a holiday to celebrate America's native peoples, but not at the expense of the currently existing Columbus Day? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We're continuing our discussion of Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day with Janice Rice and Patty Lowe. Janice Rice is past president of the American Indian Library Association. Patty Lowe is the author of Indian Nations of Wisconsin.
And we'd like to hear what you think on this. Should Columbus Day be replaced with Indigenous Peoples Day? Why or why not? Or is there another way to honor Native Americans? You can call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Patty, before we go to our callers, you wore a shirt for the occasion today. And what does it say? Can you describe it for us?
It says Homeland Security across the top, and underneath are the pictures of Chief Joseph. I'm looking at them upside down. Chief Joseph, Sitting Bull, and Geronimo, I think. And underneath it says Fighting Terrorism Since 1492. And, you know, I think as Americans, we're horrified when we read about terrorist groups like Boko Haram and you know, the Chechnya terrorists and ISIS and other groups that are creating such terror in the world and violating human rights. And yet, here we have documented evidence of Columbus enslaving people, kidnapping people, raping women, cutting off their hands because they didn't bring him his tribute of gold every 3 months, and yet we celebrate him with a federal holiday. It's just wrong.
Well, let's go to our callers and get some other voices in on this. Rachel is joining us first from Milwaukee. Rachel, hi.
Hello.
Hi, what is your take on this, Rachel?
I think it's a good move. I was born and raised in South Dakota, and back in 1990, I believe, the governor at the time, Governor Mickelson, in an effort to kind of create a healing process with the Lakota people, had shifted Columbus Day to Native American Day. So for me, it's something that's what it's always been, and it was a place and in school where we would actually discuss why we would recognize Native American Day versus Columbus Day and have more of that open conversation. So it's not as if Columbus is completely lost in the discussion, but I think it was a platform for us to be able to have a more honest discussion about how our country was discovered and then how we can move forward and make things better that perhaps were wrong in the past.
Rachel, thank you for that call. And Janice, let's go to you on this. First of all, what do you think about that model? And where is Wisconsin in terms of Wisconsin cities maybe following suit over the years?
I don't think we've really followed suit in any way. I mean, I saw some of the urban communities, Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay, doing something. And maybe some of the college towns might have raised the issues in their community. But the only one I know of that went forward and brought it to city council was the students at UW-Madison did that several years ago. And I don't remember the exact year that it happened. But that was really helpful because they were able to work with the aldermen and women on city council and put it forward that time. But it must have been a one-time only thing because I haven't seen any kind of celebrations that are honored in any way even after that was brought forward in Madison. So I'm hoping that more things like that will happen. And I'm excited that they've even raised the issues at these college towns across the state.
You know, there's a really interesting organization called Rethinking Schools, that a national education group that's based in Milwaukee, and they have a really interesting publication called Rethinking Columbus. They also have one called Rethinking Thanksgiving, and they're a really great resource for a lot of multicultural educational materials. But one of the interesting activities that they devised maybe about 10, 15 years ago was having a mock trial and putting Columbus and King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella and Columbus's men and even the Taino Indians on trial for crimes against humanity. And the Taino were included in that because there were some that actually worked with Columbus, and there's a question of whether they did enough to, you know, prevent him from doing what he did in the Caribbean. But it was really interesting because children got a chance to really critically analyze documents and form questions and act as prosecutor, judge, jury, and sift through the evidence to see what they, you know, what they came up with.
So a chance for critical thinking in schools.
Absolutely.
Like
yes.
Our last caller was talking about. Well, thank you for that call. And we're going to go to Jay next in Madison. Hello, Jay.
Hi. So I think you guys are right on in that we need to get a reality check about what Columbus means to Native Americans and really to American culture as a whole. But I feel like we also need to, in addition to questioning Columbus and getting real about him and kind of the nastiness he brought to us, we need to also have a positive replacement for Columbus Day. And maybe that's around celebrating exploration in general, which our society has kind of gotten away from. So I just kind of want to, I think that we do need to get real, but we also need to have a positive view of exploration, and we shouldn't lose sight of that.
Okay, Jay. Thanks for that.
What an interesting question. Interesting insight, because
yeah,
you know,
what do you
we
think
could,
about that? I mean, making the basis of this exploration, not so much discovery of North America, you know, in quotes, but what about the
space?
Whole, yeah.
Space and medicine
the human
and cures
to
for cancer. Yeah.
And he's also talking about the positive. I mean, I don't know if there's also a critique there that I'm hearing about criticizing Columbus not being the same thing as honoring Native culture. There being sort of a negative and a positive there. I don't know. How do you hear that?
I like what he brought up because it looks at exploration, because even back in the days before the Europeans came here, I'm positive that the tribes were migrating and they were exploring as well. So that would be another way to address it. I would hope there'd be a little more strength in the indigenous piece of it, because most people can identify with the immigrant status or trace back your family heritage to whatever European country or Asian country they might come from. But I don't think indigenous is explored as much. So that's another piece of the discussion that I would want to focus on, with, especially with my children and grandchildren, is the indigenous portion and what that really means and tribal sovereignty. So the things that are important to us that we inherited and were passed down for generations, I would like to see a little bit more of that addressed, because you don't see that every day in the discussions or in the news or in the school curriculum. And that's part of what Act 31 is trying to do as well. So I'd love to see more of that so that people can have that definition of what indigenous means. And then also who is an immigrant and the heritage behind that.
And Pat, do you want to tell us anything about Act 31?
Well, Act 31 actually came out of the Ojibwe spearfishing struggle, and there was so much violence and misinformation, and people didn't understand about tribal sovereignty, didn't understand self-determination, didn't understand the treaties or treaty rights. And so the Wisconsin legislature passed a law. This was I think, in 1993, could have been 1991, some in the early 1990s. That requires the teaching of Wisconsin Indian history, culture, treaty rights involving the tribes, and also sets up some standards for teacher certification. And so if you want to be a teacher and teach in the state of Wisconsin, you have to demonstrate proficiency so that you can teach your children about this in their classrooms.
And just briefly, as we wrap up, I want to ask you, if you had one wish for where we are next year on this, where would you want us to be?
I'd like to see another city in the state besides Madison passing something that recognizes indigenous people. It doesn't have to be this day, but something in another city showing that the community, brothers and sisters in the community, all cultures, talking about this.
I think I absolutely agree.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us today and discussing it. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Janice Rice, recently retired as outreach coordinator for the College Library at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's worked as the archivist for the Ho-Chunk people and is a past president of the American Indian Library Association. And Patty Lowe is a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Life Sciences Communication. She's an enrolled member of the Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Ojibwe and the author of Indian Nations of Wisconsin. Hey, hi.